Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go again. Trayvon will never get to be an older man. Black children, they childhood stole from them, robbed of our names and our language. Stole again, who stole from black folk? Same man that stole the lamp for cheap black smoke and made the whip crackle on our back slow, made us go through the back door and raffle black bodies on the slave block. Now we slave to the blocks, on them we spray shots, leaving our own to lay in a box. Black mother's stomach stay in a knot. We kill each other, it's part of the plot. I wish the hating would stop. War! And a battle with us. I know that black lives matter and they matter to us. These are the things we gotta discuss. The new plantation, mass incarceration. Instead of educate, they rather convict the kids. As dirty as the water is Flint, the system is. Is it a felony or a misdemeanor? Maria Sharapova making more than Serena. It took Viola Davis to say this. The roads are the help and the gangsters is really all they gave us. We need Avas, Ta-Nehisi's, and Cory Booker's. The salt of the earth to get us off of sugar and greasy foods. I don't believe the news or radio stereotypes, we refuse. Brainwashed in the cycle to spin, we write our own story, black America again.
You know, one way of solving a lot of problems that we've got is letting a person feel that they're important. And a man can't get himself together until he know who he is and be proud of what and who he is and wait and wait and where he come from. And where you come from?
Hot damn, black America again. Think of Sandra Bland as I'm staring in the wind. The color of my skin, they comparing it to sin. The darker it gets, the less fairer it has been. The hate made, I inherit it from them. But I ain't gonna point the finger. We got anointed singers like Nina, Marvin, Billy, Stevie. Need to hear them songs. Sometimes to believe me, who freed me? Linking a Cadillac, drinking a battle rap. So is it God's speed that we travel at? It's danger than our own habitat. Them guns and dope, man, y'all can have it back. As a matter of fact, we them lab rats. You built the project for, now you want your hood back. I guess if you could rap, you would express it too. That PTSD, we need professionals. You know we're pressing, dude. It makes the pipes bust from schools to prison, y'all. They trying to pipe us to your political parties and fight us. Instead of making voting laws to spite us. You know we from a family of fights, us. Fought in your wars and our wars. You put a nigga in Star Wars. Maybe you need two. And then maybe they will believe you. See black people in the future. We wasn't shipped here to rob and shoot ya. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Our men and women are created equal, including black Americans.
You know, one way of solving a lot of problems that we've got is letting a person feel that there's somebody. And a man can't get himself together until he know who he is and be proud of what and who he is. And where you come from? And where you come from?
We are rewriting the black American story. 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 Black American story.
Yeah. Back again. Another show, another day, another dollar. Welcome to Jazzo's World. Man, this weekend was a blessed and crazy weekend. But before we go into the show, because this show is going to be off the hook today, I got the celebrity media queen, Miss Belinda Charter James. What's up, Belinda?
It's Monday again, and we are in Jazzo's World. Hello. I'm doing great. I had a great weekend. It was something else that happened at the Oscars the other day. Did you see it?
Oh, man, did I? I was a little distorted, but then I was happy for the people that did win, and it was a lot of Afro-American nominees, and it was Black History Month, so I was kind of excited, so that was a blessing.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, even though it looked like a setback with, you know, the announcement being naming the wrong winners, it actually was a setup because now they will forever be in the history books, you know, even though it had to happen like that, you know, and it did take away some of the shine and stuff. But you'll remember that movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I was like, the end of it was weird as hell because everybody was looking like, because I did not, what was it, La La Land or whatever it was. I'm like, how the hell they, like,
yeah.
it's a musical. Like, those other movies, even if there wasn't Black-oriented movies, it was one of the movies by the little Caucasian guy with the glasses and, I forget what it was. It was something about the sea. And that was kind of deep. And it was a couple other movies that's deeper than that movie. And I'm like, it looked like a musical. I mean, it's supposed to be a love story, but it didn't seem like it had that much depth to it for it to be making all that noise.
Right. And another, and that was the second one. The other one that I felt the same way category I felt the same way about was a category that OJ had won, because the other films were so important to, a whole lot of things that's happening in America. Let me just put it like that to be politically correct. And for the OJ, I mean, I thought America hated OJ so much, you know, that really that movie won? Come on.
Because they, deep down inside, they know that, I mean, she and that dude got killed. I believe OJ know who did it, but that story is deeper than what we know. You know what I mean? She was doing nose candy and drugs and stuff like that. And it was crazy. This guy was what? He was a personal trainer, and then he did martial arts. This is like, you just get stabbed, like, it was set up, but she was doing too much somewhere, and it was time for her to go. That's all that was. And OJ, he knew who did it. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I just think they were like, leave that alone. Because that was weird.
Yeah.
The whole situation, the thing, just like you said, it was weird. Like, and he was clapping all happy.
OJ, right.
They won.
It was a good show. I managed to sit through the whole thing. But before we get to our first guest, I just have to tell you the movie I went to today. I went to see Get Out by Peele. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Oh, that's – oh, my God. I'm just having a brain fart right now. But, Get Out, I mean, it was such a good movie. It's a suspense thriller, and I enjoyed every suspenseful minute of it, and it'll definitely have you looking at your partners. I don't want to give it away, so that's all I'm going to say. It'll definitely have you looking at your partner at the end.
Shoot, well, I gotta get a partner. Hopefully this is supposed to be the love month, so tomorrow, last day, I don't know, I might get lucky or something.
Okay.
But other than that, Other than that, yeah, you got a hot guest that's coming on. So who is your guest? And I heard about the WrestleMania, so explain.
Yes, well, on Saturday, March 4th, I, along with a couple of other people, will have a proclamation given to them from the mayor of Connecticut for our contributions, you know, to rap and hip-hop in the early days. My contribution is being editor with Word Up Publications, and from that was born Rap Masters, Too Hype, Hype Here, Charge Yourself Here. So we were right there in the forefront, making sure that the artists in the early days, you know, got some type of publicity through publications. And I'm so proud to have Van Silk on, and he is the producer of Rap Mania, and that was the first televised production for females in hip-hop. So we're having on the 4th, a hip-hop expression, you know, for Black history, and it's given by the Bridgeport office of the mayor of Bridgeport. So we have Van Silk on the line, so he's going to, you know, just tell us a little bit about what we should expect on that day. So welcome, Van Silk.
Hey,
Jazzo's World.
What's going on? What's up, Jazzo?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Big Vance? How you doing, bro?
I'm okay, man. Over here trying to grill these hamburgers for these kids and get to the store and get them their Slurpees so they can go to bed.
Multitask. There ain't nothing like a bro that multitask.
Well,
right.
Thank you for stopping by Jazzo's World. So I understand this is the second annual hip-hop expression for Black History Month.
Yes, Kingsley, DJ Kingsley did the first one last year. We had Kool Herc come up and Jazzy J and a few other people. So I approached Kingsley in October because I said, you know, I'm putting together the Windows Hip Hop Club Tour. And, you know, like, basically, you know, I deal with all the pioneers and legends on a daily basis, you know, not just from the hip hop side, but from the health side, where we have a young brother named Rick Million who's getting some of our pioneers and legends healthcare at NYU in New York. I can't disclose the names of who he's helping, you know, but that's what we're doing to cultivate our culture. And on the side of that, you know, we have Disco Daddy on the West Coast, who's originally from Harlem, but he is the first rapper to record on the West Coast. He's 66 now. So we have a show that we do every other couple of weeks called Hip Hop and You Don't Stop. So we've been put together some historical lineups. And then me and DJ K Slay have another show, which is video, which is called What's the Science? And I'm still working on the Winning What's Hip Hop Club documentary, which is going to be very intricate. But for Connecticut this Saturday, we put together a great lineup from the mayor's office. And again, Kool Herc is going to be there. Coke LaRock, Kool Herc's first MC. We have Pete Nice from Third Base. We have Red Alert. We have a hip hop pioneer from Connecticut, DJ White Flash, and DJ Joey D, who's originally from the Bronx. We have the original Spinderella. We got, of course, Belinda Trotter. We have Jazzy J. We have Grand Mixer DST. We have Cool Cal, the Star Child, who will be hosting this situation. We also have Mark Collins from the Collins Brothers. We have Sherry Sher from the Mercedes Ladies. We got DJ Ready Red from the Ghetto Boys. And we have DJ Kevin Kev Rockwell. All is going to be in attendance. And we also have Mr. Wave from Beach Street. So we have a combination of generations. And we also have other people for the hip-hop expression, but it's still under the banner When It Was Hip Hop. This, and it's from 11 to 3 in Bridgeport at the mayor's office in Bridgeport, and it's free. It's free.
Wow. Okay. So it's going to be outside, or we're going to be inside in the rotunda?
Inside. Inside is food. there's food, there's a panel held by Treble T, and we have a DJ spinoff, and we're going to have Cool Cow hosting, and it's just going to be a great day. I'm sorry, I put it together along with Kingsley and Jennifer, but I have to be in Miami because I'm working on the Black Film Festival week for June to put something together big down in Miami. And but we will be doing another one at the Fairlane Dickinson University in April with the first foundation of hip hop, DJ Coco Rock, the real Clark Kent, and the original JC, along with DJ Ready Red and Cool Cow. We're doing a whole situation there at that university in April, where we educating everybody about the culture of hip hop, because the timelines and everything is incorrect, and a lot of people don't have a lot of knowledge about the culture of hip hop. You know, they only hear what they was told. Like me and Revolut was talking this morning, it's like we was talking about the Remy Martin, you know, Nicki Minaj situation, because I made a post with the Red Cross sign saying, "Please stop the bleeding, because the Red Cross need no more blood." So Red called me up. He said, "You know what, man? A lot of people overlooked Remy because she's from the Bronx and she's been through the grind coming up." And I say, "Red, but don't overlook Nicki, because she came from the Smack DVD era from the streets as well. Don't get her confused with the Barbie and what she can do." And at the end, Red said, "Well, you know what? People always want to bring up, well, she made more money. Money has nothing to do with it. Skills have something to do with this, because if everything came down to money in hip hop, then Vanilla Ice is the champ." So at the end of the day, it's culture versus corporation. And once people understand the difference of culture versus corporation, then you will never bring up, "Oh, well, Jay-Z made more money than LL." I'll take LL any day.
Yeah, true. That's one of my favorites. That's like, he is the GOAT. He is definitely the GOAT. I think he's the GOAT. You got to think of like he opened up doors for all those cats, a lot of cats that's coming. Just like people open up doors for him. You know what I mean? And he wasn't recognized for that. Like, everybody talk about Jay-Z,
I said in his era. And see, we got to understand one thing in the culture of hip hop. You got to break it down into generations. You can't say, "Well, who's the best 15 MCs?" Well, you might have a kid born in 83 that don't know nothing about a Melly Mel in 79 or 80.
Yeah.
Now, if you talk to real MCs, Melly Mel's always going to be either one or five. You know, from a lyrical standpoint, and if you go back and listen to the records, he wrote records in the 80s. That's stuff happening right now. Right now. So it's about, just ain't about, "Oh, I just say this or I say that." Like, when I look at Young Ma, she's good for the Uncle Murder and all those type of guys, but I would never put her in the category with MC Light. Never. You know, so the distortion of our culture, what we started in 77, you know, everything has to change. But I would never put LL in the category with a Mo D or Melly Mel or Grandmaster Caddy, because he don't belong in that category, because it's a different generation. So he has to fit in his generation. You know, you can't put Ice Cube in the generation of LL, because that's a different generation. And you can't put Rakim in the generation of Future, because it's a different generation. You know, 15-year-old kid ain't trying to hear Rakim, no matter how much we praise Rock. Allah to God, how dope he is, or a KRS-One, or a Kane, or a Hieroglyphics. You can't put them in, you can't tell them a 15 or 16 year old kid, "These guys are dope," because they don't understand that, because everything has been watered down. So when you look at Remy, who's been away, came out, and Papoose is dope, because a lot of us do understand how dope this kid is. But the understand the game is, when you're selling records, you got to sell to the pop culture masses. You can't come with all that stuff. But when it's time to get down or lay down, you better have the pen to the pad, or so it's all going to explode, because it's time to write some lines. Not none of that Barbie stuff that she dropped last week and Remy came out with the ether. It's like, come on, yo. Like, you got how many hours left before you respond? Like, seriously. I mean, I didn't get corporate to that, but you got how many hours left? You know?
Yeah.
So no shame.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and exactly. When you look at it on that perspective, because even myself, when you were talking about the MCs, I started thinking about even just Ice, and I'm like, a lot of the stuff they was talking about is like stuff is happening now. So I was like, wow. Yeah, that's true. That's right and exact.
Well, we grew up in an era where you had to write. If you go listen to a Melly Mel World War III, I mean, he's talking about everything that's happening like right now. That was written in 1984. So when you go and listen to an NWA at the Police, that was happening all along. But they exposed it. You know, so, I mean, everything comes in a circle. It's lyrical content, and it's just gibberish, mumbling and gibberish, because the mindset today is very unintelligent to sit down and say, yo, he just explained history to me. Kids don't know how to explain history. Even though the kids today are talented in their wordplay and their metaphors, but if you had to eliminate the four-letter words, what would your content be? If you had to take out every four-letter cuss word, and all these young kids' language is spitting, what would you be talking about?
That's like
me talking to you right now, Jazzo, and every time I say, I'm going to do this. Yo, Jazz, yo, you know, yeah, we doing something in Bridgeport, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah, you know, we got Pete Nice up there, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we got Third Base coming, and we got Cool Cow coming, you know what I'm saying? We going to flip this whole thing. What am I saying? All I'm saying is, you know what I'm saying, because you don't have no vocabulary.
And while we have you, I just want you to clear up the difference between rap and hip-hop. Because people think it's the same
thing. Yeah, please.
Okay, well, hip-hop is something that we created. I'm 59, Herc is 62. I hate to even say it. Bam Bada is 60. You know, Flash is going to be 60. Curtis Blow is 59. Ice-T is 59. I'm going to say us older guys lived off the real R&B era to cultivate with Hollywood as a rapper. And a DJ in the mid-70s. You cannot be a pioneer if you never was in the game before records. There's only a few pioneers. The rest of everybody else is practitioners. Now, we are part of the hip-hop culture. We are part of the hip-hop culture because we did everything that generated something into every language across the universe. There's MCs or rappers in every language. Anybody that came after the record game, you're a rapper. Now, you can be part of hip-hop, but you're not an MC, because you got people like MC like Sha Rock from 44. You call her a rapper, you're not ready to get into a fight. She's an MC. Now, you might call Tango a rapper, or you might call, you know, Shantae a rapper. But she might even get a little tight because she came in like the 83 era. Because by 83, the game was over. Everybody that was in the game before records by 83 had a record. And anybody after 83 was not even part of the game. You wasn't part of the light poles. You wasn't part of the parks. You're not on none of the original flyers. You're not on none of nothing. You just went and got a straight record deal. And the difference between our hip-hop culture is something that we live and we breathe as a part of you being a rapper. Now, they use the word hip-hop because it's something that sounds good to everybody. Or I'm a hip-hop dancer, or the hip-hop community, which I'm still looking for. So the difference is living the hip-hop culture and being part of the hip-hop culture. I lived the hip-hop culture when we did the parties, and I gave the parties to PL and the Busy D and Kumo D battle me and AJ did with the Harlem World crew and, you know, things like that. That's hip-hop. Everybody was growing up together at the same time, cultivating something. We didn't know what we was doing, or we didn't know where it was going to go. But then when it became records, it became the rap industry. But then they had to use the terminology hip-hop because it sounds good. You know, B-boys. Everybody was a B-boy before they became an MC. Flash was a B-boy. His name was Rubber Band Man. Sharrock was a B-girl. Clark Kent from Kool Herc was a B-boy. The Nigga Twins was a B-boy. Melly Mel was a B-boy. Scorpio was a B-boy. Mean Gene, most of them were B-boys because everybody was dancing in the parks before they became DJs and MCs. So they part of that culture. Now, you might have some people fantasizing and romanticizing their timeline. Oh, yeah. But if you're 52 and we don't know you and you ain't got on no flyers, you wasn't down. Now, we do have some people that's 53 and 54 that are on flyers because a lot of MCs in 79 was still 14 or 15 years old. Melly Mel was just 16 when they did their first record. He's 57 now. So the flyers tell the story of what hip-hop is. You know, I didn't see you. I didn't know you. You wasn't around. Can you tell me who is Rock and Roll from Patterson Projects or Chuck City from Mont Haven or Clark Park? Can you tell me anything about, you know, about the PAL on 183rd Street? Or can you tell me about your spot? If you can't tell me none of that stuff, then you wasn't down. And the flyers, again, read your history. The flyers back in the day was your record deal. So all those people, whether they became famous or not, is part of the hip-hop culture. That when the Sugar Hill Gang record came out, that's when the hip-hop culture became rap music.
Okay, gotcha.
And to clear the record up, was already been stated, the Funky Four Plus One is the first hip-hop group with a record.
Oh, see, everybody.
Rapping and Rocking the House is the first hip hop record. The Sugar Hill Gang is the first rap group with a record on Sugar Hill Records. Grandmaster Flash and the 35 is the first hip hop group on Sugar Hill Records. Mercedes Ladies is the first hip hop female group with no records, and Sequence is the first female rap group with a record.
Gotcha.
Because neither one of them had anything to do with the culture back in the day.
Right. Get it right. Okay, there you have it.
Man, I'm loving it. I'm loving it right here with Dazzle the World with Vans Silk doing the thing. Oh, man. Hey, Vans, I want you to stay on here. I'm going to play a classic. It's called Classic. Rakim, we got KRS-One, Nas. And right after that, we're going to come back and learn some more history with Van Silk and definitely Linda Chata James, the celebrity media queen. But let's check this out. Real hip-hop right here on Jazzle's World.
Now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
Classic. I'm better than I ever been.
I'm Rakim, the fiend of a mic.
Yeah, is y'all ready for 2007? It's now another drought. Everybody's a killer. Wow, we bugging out. Just 86 showing the crowd what I'm about. And they still want to know when the album coming out. Ask the teenagers, OGs, and ask the kids what they definitely
definition a classic is. Timeless, so age don't count in the booth. When your flow stays submerged in the fountain of youth.
Ain't no doubt in the truth, I'm off the meters. Everybody co-sign it, even non-believers. I came in the door, became one of y'all's leaders. In a fresh pair of Air Force One sneakers. Uptown, we call them uppies when they on divas. Probably one with KRS-One teachers. Nah, made you look before the heaters. I bet you Khan had them on when he walked with Jesus.
Classic. Classic.
Live straight, classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight, classic, classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'd like to return to the classic.
Can't buy this. Flyness, like a shyness, your highness, it's performing, look how long the line is, it's what happened, you make it timeless, it's what happened, these rappers is the finest, what do it take to be a legend like Nas is, I'm so novice, I'm so polished, I got a right to be a little bit snobbish, I did a little bit of college, semesters, it took two like Robbie, to let me figure out this wasn't my place, the beat slow till you listen to my pace, cause I be killing shit, but that's evident, and y'all feeling it, but I expected it. If it's classic, it's gon' last forever. Then I'm everywhere. You never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Fly straight, classic, classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere. You never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Fly straight, classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Report down, represent to the fullest. Nas, I rock well.
Perseverance. The fake hustler rapper, to them it hurts to hear this. Oh, you went platinum, yeah, that's nice. Now let me see you do the same thing twice. Three times, four times, then a couple of more times. Please, you're amateur night, it's showtime. It's one life to live, so live it the best you can. The world could use one less man. Not enough air, not enough car factories to manufacture new vehicles, sedans, and vans. When they do make the whip, you're like your chips ain't right. By the time you could afford it, the car ain't important. In the street timing, it's just iron. Cops keep firing in my environment. Leaving your slump, then they drive home far from the hood, brothers. They eager to jump on. I like to be the wall that they toast up on. I like to see the fall, guilty for doing wrong. I'm classic like the Air One, the hustler shoe. That's what I'm accustomed to. Yeah,
classic.
Live straight, classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight, classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Of course, we have Blastmaster KRS-One.
How many y'all got criminal minded? You, y'all, don't be blinded. Me, I got no jewels on my neck. Why? I don't need them. I got your respect. KRS-One, 20 years I rock. I do it for JMJ and Scott LaRock. This hip-hop, and we the nation. Don't you want to hear more KRS on your radio station? Instead of broadcasting how we smoke them trees, on the radio we need to hear more local MCs. Where you at? Come on, where you at? This is the difference between MC and rap. Rappers spit rhymes that are mostly illegal. MCs spit rhymes to uplift their people. Peace, love, unity, having fun. These are the lyrics of KRS-One.
Classic.
Live straight, classic, classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Yeah. Well, we're back in Jazzo's World, Dirty Basement Radio with Van Silk and Celebrity Media Queen, my publicist, Belinda Trotter James, man. We were just talking, if y'all missed the show, we were just talking about hip-hop at its greatest and being very informative. Mr. Silk was giving us a lot of knowledge, so we want to welcome back Mr. Van Silk. What's up?
Hey, Jazzo, I always like to drop some bombs on everybody. Belinda Trotter, you know Van Silk like to drop bombs. Who I got on the phone with me right now?
Yo.
Yeah.
The original Star Child. Cool Kyle.
Sounds like Cool Kyle, the Star Child.
What it do?
Woo! Yeah, let me talk on the phone. Boom. Who else I got on the phone with us?
Yo, and, Jordan Cool Kyle is Prime Minister Pete Nice from Third Base.
Two Rush artists
from two different eras.
That's how we
along with RC Pac Jam.
Uh-oh, AKA
AKA the Henry Kissinger of hip hop.
Hey, Jazzo, we spread love, but we call ourselves true historians, and Melinda trot this down with us so you could ask these brothers some questions.
There you go.
Oh, man. Yo, give me the knowledge.
How you doing, son?
What's up, man? Just give me the knowledge, you know what I mean? Oh man, this is a lovely day for me. I'm loving just all the knowledge I'm getting, brothers.
Hey yo, Jazzo, first off, Belinda Tron is family. She's family, so she's you're welcome, baby. In the construction of the true historian effort, when it was hip hop. When I say when it was hip hop, we talking about when it was the boom bap, when it was the two turntables and the microphone, when it was the beats, when it was cats dancing at parties and ducking from the gunshots. I ain't going to lie about that, too. Let's keep it mad real because Van Silk, Kool Cal, Pete Nice, we keep it real. You know what I'm saying? We're going back to the days when it was really real. Up until right now, the real hip-hop exists. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, you got a bunch of cats running around acting the way they act, dressing the way they act, the pink little braids and the mad multicolored gold teeth in their face. We call them mumble rap because they rap like this and, oh, going to the club like, wah. Shorty said, oh, going to hit it off like, wah. Okay, we dig all that. But check this out. When it was hip-hop is alive and well, Belinda's part of that. Van Silk is part of that. Cool Cow, the original Star Child is part of that. My man Pete Nice from Third Base is part of that. And we about to grace your soul for a second, son, you know? So, you know, take it from there, baby.
Yo, true indeed.
It's going to happen in March.
Most definitely.
So, yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, basically, what the deal is, very quickly, my man Van Silk, first of all, I met Van Silk back when he was one of the premier party promoters in New York City, before there were rap records. This is when we were running around with turntables, microphones, amps, speakers, plugging in light poles, playing in parks. Nobody knew what the hell what hip-hop was outside New York City. It wasn't even called hip-hop then. You were going to the jam, or you were going to RC Tag Jam, or you were going to a Mike and Dave party, or a Tiny Wood party, or you know, the genesis of hip-hop, way before the media grabbed it, before Bambada blew up and went downtown, and those people grabbed him and said, what is this called? And slapped graffiti writers into the mix and called it all a culture. I'm talking about from day one. And me and Van Silk are boys. We've always been boys. Like, this is like going on 40 years now. And, we talked. He had some definitely hot, solid ideas about unifying our history. Like, a long story short, our history has been raped, sodomized. Yeah, I said sodomized. I said it on the radio. I said it. Sodomized, taken from us. And the true story of how the whole thing came together, the building blocks of hip-hop have been taken from us, and nobody knows about it because nobody talks about it. They interview and talk to a handful of people, which you all already know, and they're basing it on the sales of records and who are the major guys that sold records. But listen, hip-hop is a building. It's architecture. And there's people who helped build this building. If it wasn't for any of these dudes, the building wouldn't have been built. Now, I happen to have made records, so yeah, I'm on the charts. I made a couple of records, so what? Russell Simmons was my manager, so what? Run DMC was my first road DJ, so what? That doesn't matter. But in the streets where hip-hop came from the Bronx, the South Bronx, Harlem, USA, this is where hip-hop was born, and everybody contributed needs to be shouted out on some level. And Van Silk decided to make that his project. He called his boy up. Yo, Cal, what can we do about this? We sat about it. We put our minds together. And we started talking to the cats that people don't talk to every day. And then we talked to the legends, too. You know, we have access to everybody. We put all the stories together, and Van Silk came up with a concept called True Historians. We tell them the true story of hip-hop, because there's a lot of lies going on. And before you know it, like, our story won't be told. We'll all be dead in the ground, and it'll be what the media decide to say. It'll be what the handful of legends decide to say, and that's not true. We can't go for that. So we decided to get out here and talk about it, and we reached out to certain people. Pete Nice is one of them. You know, me and Pete go back to Russell Simmons' days with Russ Manager. Russell was my manager for 5 years. We were on the same management team. I was before him, but he blew up with the group Third Base, you know, Search and all that. I mean, so we all grouped. We all got together. We can call anybody any time of day. And we decided, let's spread this knowledge. Let's share this knowledge. Let's get it out there. And this is what we're doing right now.
And then if I could just chime in, like what Kyle was saying with when he was down with Rush and we were starting with Rush, it was like a bridge of a gap between two different eras, you know what I'm saying? And like I didn't see Cool Kyle at the Savoy Manor with Flash and everybody, but I knew about it and heard the tapes, and that got me into hip-hop. And then guys like me from our era, we respected the guys that came before us and took on those traditions, and that's kind of like I think what people are losing going into this, new millennium of hip-hop. And I think it's important for, like, these different generations to get together and document all the history so that it's there, you know, the actual proof and the actual truth to get out there for the next generation. So, like Kyle said, so it doesn't get lost and co-opted by other parties out there.
There you go. Thank you, Pete. That is so right, because that's what matters. If you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going. And to make a longer-ass story even shorter, this is why you see what you see right now. The industry took over, just diluted what we originally – and listen, nobody sat down and said, we're going to make this an art form. We're going to make this the quintessential statement from the ghetto. None of us did that. We did it for fun. Then we started getting money out of it. We did it for money, but we really did it just to express ourselves musically, because I could rhyme and I could DJ a little bit. I could rhyme. I could say words that made people make noise, and girls loved it. And Pete did it because he could flow. He had a flow. He got with his boy Search, and then he got that deal, and they went around the world with it. We did this out of love for hip-hop. There's no love for hip-hop right now. All this stuff you guys are hearing right now has nothing to do with the origins and the reality of what hip-hop was based on. Listen, I'm not against progressing, changing. Artists change. Styles change. I agree. I'm an artist. I will not put anybody down. But when you start dissing a Curtis Blow, and you start dissing a Melly Mel, you start dissing a Cool Cow, because he sounds like that, from 1980, come on, son. You need to do your research. You need to hear the new music. You need to talk to Pete Nice. You need to talk to Van Silk. And you need to understand where your styles come from. Because if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't be doing this now. You'd be working at McDonald's somewhere talking about, would you like more cheese on that Big Mac? I mean, that's the reality of the situation. We know
that. Definitely. And, you know, Van Silk has been doing this since the early days when I knew him as RC Pack Jam and all the flyers. But I first even knew Van Silk professionally when he did Rap Mania at the Apollo.
There you go.
And that brought together everybody. That's where I met Cool Herc for the first time. All these legends from before us, Mudbug, Starsky, everybody. So that's how, you know, he was aware of preserving the history back in 1990. And now, you know, look at all the decades after, you know, following that tradition. So that's the other part that's important here with Van.
Exactly. He was a prophet. He knew that in order to preserve what we made and make it valuable to us, because, listen, we don't get anything that these new dudes get. And, listen, Vincent Van Gogh did not become famous until way after he cut his ear off and died, okay? While he was doing paintings, nobody cared about his ass straight like that. Okay, we understand that. But you have certain people that helped put hip-hop on the map, that made it the number one music idiom in America and around the world. And these cats are still alive and well and can still actually get on stage and do something and have people scream and jump up and down. I'm a witness to that and an active participant. Put me on any stage, okay? Not to say that I'm putting anybody else who's down right now, because they all deserve their time. I had my time. It doesn't mean I'm dead, though. But when you start not paying attention to where these rhymes, beats, and all of this mechanisms came from, now you're violating. And it's time for the violations to stop. Let's tell everybody who everybody was. Let them all get some props. Mad props to Van Silk, RC Pac-Man, because he was the first one to start doing that. And mad props to myself, because he called me. So I actually have a very accurate memory. And mad props to Pete Nice, because Pete has all the flyers. Pete has flyers from when he was even MCing.
Yeah,
wow.
I'm over here at Stretch Armstrong's crib looking at flyers right now. And, you know, Stretch Armstrong is taking a step back.
Do you know who Stretch Armstrong is? Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch looked at the flyers from the era after, from 88 on through the 90s, and like just following that tradition going through.
Hey, Pete, push Stretch on for a second.
Yo, Stretch, come here.
Wow. Yo, I love it right here on Dazzle's World. We got
yo,
hip hop legends, man.
Stretch Armstrong. Man, I owe you a call. I moved this weekend, so life's been in boxes. But I owe you.
I give it.
Hey, yo, stress. This is Jazzo Sober. This is your boy Cool Cow, the Star Child, on the phone. What up, Stretchy? What up, baby boy?
Wow, I'm tripping that you're even saying my name. That's phenomenal. What's up?
Come on, Stretch. I'm tripping that you're answering back on the phone.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Yo, Dirty Basement Radio, Jazzo's World. We got the legends up in here. I'm loving this thing, man. Oh, man. Oh, go ahead, Stretch. Give me a little history also. You brothers up here sparking some knowledge, so give me some little history about yourself.
Who, me? You talking to me, Stretch?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes, you, Stretch.
Yeah. History of myself.
Hell yeah.
Well, it all started when
not just for me, for everybody that's listening. You know what I mean? We got the legend Stretch. I mean, he about to tell us a little something right here.
I would say, you know, I'm one of those first generation kids that didn't grow up in a neighborhood I didn't know anyone doing hip hop where I grew up. I grew up on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. I'm a private school kid, and I just fell in love with the culture and the first time I saw a DJ, I was like, that's what I want to do. And, you know, I know I'm going to school for this, that, and the third, but I want to be a DJ. And you couldn't tell me anything. That's what was going to happen. And by the grace of God, I got a time slot on WKCR, which actually Pete was on WKCR before me. I didn't know that at the time. When I got the show in 1990, but me and Bobito Garcia started a show in 1990, and that kind of changed our worlds, and it's still fueling our respective careers, you know, 30 years later. So it's been a crazy ride. But
well, you say Bobby to people, you mean Stretch and Bobito.
Bobito. Did I say Bobby? I said Bobby.
Yeah, you said Bobby. Yeah, but it's all good. We know. Listen, Chess. We know who Bobby is, but the world. Maybe you need to tell Jazzo and his audience who is Bobby, and what's his real name, and what does he mean to music.
Yeah, well, so Bobby is, or I call him Bob, or Bob. That's Cool Bob Love, aka Bobito Garcia, Robert Garcia, Bobito, the Egypt King, the King of Swing, doing his thing. Bob's like the Renaissance dude. He's like well known and so super accomplished in the basketball sphere, the sneaker sphere, and in music as well. And Bob and I, we started this show together in 1990. Bob was doing he was doing promotions at Def Jam, which is and it's funny because Pete Nice, who was sitting to my right, got him that gig, and that's how I know Pete. So that's the Bobito, and you know everyone knows Bobito. I mean, I take the train with Bob, and like half the kids don't even know who I am. They're like, "Yo, Bob, what up?" Because they know him from basketball, and I'm standing there like a herb, like I mean nothing.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, we did a radio show for nearly a decade that was the. You know, it was the home for the 90s generation of artists that you know, may not have had an outlet if it wasn't for us. You know, so you're talking about, you know, Wu-Tang, Nas, Jay-Z, Big L, Mobb Deep. What's that? Fat Joe, Joey Crack,
Joey Crack,
and,
right.
and we actually made a movie about that radio show called Stretch and Bobito Radio That Changed Lives, which is currently
Stretch and Bobito. That is so
and
classic.
And Netflix,
so
you know
bad.
If and you know for anyone that is a fan or student of the mix show, they got to see this because I think we took that overnight slot 1 to 5 in the morning and turned it into something that just ended up meaning so much more than just being a little radio show.
Of course.
I remember very well, man. Stretch and Bob Beal, that's like famous in New York City. And I hate to, I'm just like listening to your statement and knowing how much that meant to music, and not just hip-hop music, but music in general, the mixes, the artists who were involved, all these cats went on to become like what they became. But see, the world doesn't realize nobody just signed a contract and blew up like overnight. It may have seemed like to most people overnight. You mentioned Wu-Tang. Come on. Before they even made their first Cream, C-R-E-A-M, Cash Means It. Listen. They were out here. They were talking to Stretch and Bob Beato, and they had the mixtapes, which they called mixtapes. They were really mixtapes, but they were like their version of that, featuring their joints. And cats were saving money and going to the studio and doing what they had to do on the streets to make money to go to the studio. See, the world doesn't even know about that part. But this is what we were doing in New York City just to get music out there. And this was all because rap records started like making money. But before rap records, we were like doing this like for free. We were out of the street in clubs just like doing our thing and just getting crowds going. Stretch and Bob Beal get on the radio. He said between 1 and 5 in the morning. Who the hell is up between 1 and 5 in the morning?
For New York a decade.
City, New York City hip-hop page was up. What? Yes. Mr. Magic. Yo, man, listen, I can go on and on with this, man. I don't interrupt you, but I'm just amazed that you're here and you're telling Jazzo this, because the world needs to know this stuff, man. And these kids need to know.
Yes.
Listen,
I'm loving that y'all brothers on here showing me the love on the show and being very informative and letting my audience know that the real history of hip hop in the culture itself. So that's a blessing. But I got something a little different. I want y'all brothers to stay on. But I got something a little different. We got our sports queen calling, and Miss Mary Coy. What's up, Mary? What's good?
Hey, guys. I'm just learning a lot listening to y'all. This is very, very informative. So it's great to be here in Jazzo's World. Thanks for having me. It's kind of a big jump.
Jazzo's World. I hear that.
Jazzo's World, switching from the history of hip-hop and rap over to NASCAR racing. I don't know how much of a smooth transfer that is, but I'll give it a try.
Hey,
how's
you
everybody
go.
Doing? Yeah.
We
Did
good.
You guys happen
I'm
to catch any of the Daytona 500 this weekend? That kind of, between the Oscars and the Daytona 500, that was sort of the big weekend highlights for me.
Okay.
Yeah?
Excellent, baby.
No?
Excellent.
Excellent.
Well, I'm from New York City, so my main concern is Van Silk, and the winner was Hip Hop Club Tour 2017, and talking to the pioneers and getting our stuff together. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, NASCAR and that whole scene is big across America. But you know what? I rock the microphone. If I'm not standing on that stage in Indianapolis addressing 10,000 white people, what's my name, cool cat?
Hey,
what do they call me,
you,
Star
I'll tell
Child?
You what's going on in Indianapolis this
Listen.
Week. We got some sports going on in Indianapolis this week. It's the start of the NFL Combine. You know what that is? That's happens every year in Indianapolis, and it's starting this week.
Yeah.
All those college players coming to Indianapolis for all the coaches, prospective NFL, to check them out, see who they may want to draft. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's a lot going on in Indianapolis.
Very good.
Yeah.
Van Silk is
anyway.
Very well versed in all the sports events. He has mad artists in the sports world, mad artists in the Hollywood world. And what we try to do is combine everybody to get on board with our program. And we cross-pollinate. Claudia Jordan is a big artist in our stable. You know, we talk to her all the time. She's very close to us. We deal with SWV all the time. Listen, we can go on and on with this. It's not really my show or my time.
But
I really appreciate what you're doing.
That, bro. Look, y'all ain't going nowhere, but let's get a little sports bits from Mary, and we're going to come right back to our hip-hop culture. But Mary, go ahead, throw the knowledge of what you know with the sports bit, and we're coming right back and talk to Van Silk and the other legends of hip-hop right here on Jazzo's World.
All right. I will give you a little sport bits. This is all you need to know to talk about this week. The Daytona 500, just like I was telling you, NASCAR racing is just in a world of hurt. Viewership down, team values down, sponsors leaving. So they really need to try to pull in those millennials to get it, to build it back up again. So they're trying all sorts of things to get that going. And this year at the Daytona 500, they changed some rules, divided the race into three different sections. The winner of each section won points towards the end of the year, point totals. So that added a little drama to the race. Who ended up winning? Kyle Busch. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was back after being out for a concussion for a year. So people were excited that he was back. But he went out in a crash. Yeah, so Daytona 500, it was good. Kurt Busch won. What else is going on this weekend? We had a little I talked about the combine, yeah. Oh, I'll tell you the other big news was out here in Lakerland. You hear about how Jeannie Buss, the president of the Lakers, fired her brother? Mm-hmm. Fired her mm-hmm. brother what? And fired the general manager. Yep, Jeannie, who, you know, once posed for Playboy and dated the coach, but she is president of the Lakers. She she fired her brother. She brought in Magic Johnson and bringing in mm-hmm. a new general manager, Kobe Bryant's agent. So now that's mm-hmm. a new trend in the NBA, having agents be general managers, because general managers really need to know the business, the collective bargaining agreement, the salary caps, all the business side. So they're finding that agents can really fill those roles. So they went out and they got Kobe Bryant's agent. So now he's going to be the general manager. So that was big news. In the NBA, we still got the Golden State Warriors. They're still ranked number one. They've already clinched a spot in the playoff berth already in February. That's pretty crazy, pretty early. Cavs are in second place. Spurs in the third. Rockets in the fourth. NHL trade deadline this Wednesday, so mad trades are happening. Your Rangers are in seventh place, just in case you were wondering. Washington's still in first, Chicago's in second. Yeah, and then I'll give you two big oops stories. What I'm calling the big oops stories this week. One was Rory McIlroy. I don't know if you know him. He's a golfer. He refused to play in the Olympics last summer because he's from Ireland and he resented having to pick between playing for Northern Ireland or for Ireland. So he said, I'm just not going to play in the Olympics. He didn't want to get political. But then he goes out and plays golf with President Trump and takes a lot of heat. I just don't think he just didn't even think about it. He said, hey, man, the president of the United States wanted to play golf with me. I'm going to play with him. It wasn't a political statement. But, of course, you know, social media, everyone attacked him because, oh, boy, you know the climate we're living in. And then the other big oops was the Tampa Bay quarterback, Jameis Winston. He's a Tampa Bay quarterback. He got asked to speak at a Florida elementary school. He went and spoke to some fifth graders. I don't know if you remember him. He played for Florida State. He won a national championship, actually. But he also was under fire for sexual assault while he was there. It was never proven. He was never arrested, but the school settled with the girl, and so that was sort of a cloud that was always over him. So he went to this little – first of all, why would you invite him to speak to your fifth graders? I'm not sure if that's kind of hanging over him. But he spoke again, I just don't think he was thinking. I mean, he was talking to the little boys, telling them that they should stand up. The girls needed to sit down, but the little boys needed to stand up. They needed to be strong. They needed to use their voices. But the girls, they needed to be silent, polite, and gentle. So, yeah, that didn't go over very well. I know, especially when one little girl turned to him and said, hey, but I'm strong too. I love that. So that's it, guys. Wow. That's a little bit of NHL news for you. You know, baseball's just starting. We're in spring training. Not a lot going on. That's it. That's all I got.
Hey,
you know what, guys? It sounds
like Mary said that NASCAR, you know, the attendance is going down. So Cal and myself, it sounds like you guys need to be performing at a NASCAR, you know, event because guys like fast cars. So it looks like there's a door getting ready to open. You know, you need to go.
Linda, I love you. You are the. That's exactly right. You are just the perfect promoter. You're right. They're trying to get those millennials. So you get it might be an opportunity for you. Perfect.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay.
Do I hear crickets?
No crickets. Somebody needs to reach out to Van Silk and say, yo, I need like some real hip hop guys to get this audience going. And that's when we fall in place. But anyway, it can happen. Anything's possible.
No, it can. No, look, anything is definitely possible. It can happen, especially if their numbers are going down and they need to bring them up. This might be a good time. Everything happened for a reason. You know what I mean?
Right. They use our songs in all kinds of national, worldwide commercials and stuff. So I don't think this is a far stretch. For you guys to come,
you
got to have the right songs, of course. But get the right songs, and you win.
Pete Knight,
well,
Gas Face. Oh my God!
Oh, you know that would be hot though. The Gas Face, the new millennium Gas Face.
The beat your word.
Yeah, sound like somebody better write some new rhymes for the NASCAR.
500 cubic inches going around the track, yo, not by inches, but by feet, by yards, by miles, 700 miles per hour. Yo, what you going to do? Don't get sweet, but get sour. I'm going to win this race right about now, right up in your face. Kyle Busch, oh, cool, Kyle got the same name. Dot.
There we go.
Look, we got something. Radio Dazzles. We didn't turn to a lab now. We thinking a master plan.
Right.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
But thank you, Mary, for all your sports information as always. We're gonna take it back. But, Mr. Van, you got an event coming up March the 4th. Let everybody know where it is and what to look forward to.
Belinda.
Yeah.
You got the flyer in front of you? Hold on a second. I know
it's
in Bridgeport at the mayor's office, at the Margaret.
I have the flyer right here in front of me. Yeah, it's going to be at the office of Bridgeport, and that's in Connecticut. It's at Margaret Morton Center. That's 999 Broad Street in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And it's from 11 to 3 this Saturday, March 4th.
In the 4th. Daytime. Daytime. Not nighttime, people. Daytime.
All right, a.m., right.
Right.
Yes, 11 to 3 a.m. So it's going to be a good time. So come with, you know, something so everybody can autograph your shirts, T-shirts, your caps or whatever. And
bring your kids.
Some photos, photo ops. So
bring your kids.
Not everybody's going to be performing, though, right?
Not everybody. They mostly going to speak on a panel. Got a couple DJs doing some things. Who knows? Everybody's improvising. You never know what might happen.
Okay.
Never
Sounds
know.
Good. Well, thank you guys.
Jazzo, I like to say, you know, whenever I get on the phone, I always got to bring on some of my pioneering brothers, tag them in. We the tag team, you know. Let me tag somebody.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, bro. I'm loving it. Shoot, that was a good lookout. Thanks, big bro.
There you go.
I'm over excited. You see me? I'm quiet as a church mouse. Like, listen. And but I see on the fly you got one of my old heads on there. Jazzy J.
Jazzy J. That old head thing. We don't use that term, son.
He's a legend. We use the word legend. Legend. Nazzy
yeah, we don't do old heads or uncles.
Yeah, we don't do old heads, no doubt. So stop that.
Well, I know he a legend, but that's my Philly lingo. I'm born in Philly and raised in Queens.
Get your Allen projects, get down and lay down. Oh my God, true indeed.
That's right, in part of the city
where I was growing at, Southwest Philly. True indeed. So, Jazza, was you there when I came with my man, my DJ Run from Run DMC? We took over Philly for one night, the first New York cast to ever play in Philadelphia, Martin Luther King Center. Do you remember that? Were you there then? Or maybe you were a bit too young. Did you hear about that?
No,
disco rap.
I was there because when I met Jazzy, they was with Strong City MCA, and I was with a Cena. I was a dancer back in the day, B boy, with ice cream tea. As a matter of fact, the brother that taught me the skill, dancer skills is a brother named Shalimar. He was with Houdini. If you saw the freak to come out at night, he's on that. Matter of fact, the young boy he walking with the Sherlin in it is Jermaine Dupri back in the day. So I'm a young, but I got a little knowledge, a little something.
Jazzo, this is Van Soo. Did you know I used to run Rough House Judgment Records in 1997?
Oh, snap, yeah.
With Joe Niccolo and Seth Carter, Sunday Carter's husband, and out there in Coshocton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Ah,
you didn't know
that.
you didn't know that all the mix CDs. See, we talk hip-hop that came into Philadelphia came from me and DJ K-Slay. From Camden, When Schoolie D had his clothing store over there, you know, like 52nd and Market Street, all those dudes used to get the mix CDs from us.
Yeah, man. Bahamas D.
With the Beanie Siegel joint. Like, listen.
Uh-huh.
Philly is like my second home. Richard Allen Project, where Bill Cosby came from. That's like my second home.
Yeah,
you know?
True indeed. I love it.
My second show. Lady B hired me, and at the end of the night, it was too late to get our car to go back to New York. Me, Run, my dancers, and Russell Simmons and about three other cats spent the night at Lady B's house. Lady B, before she had to the beach.
Yeah,
in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
I love Philly.
When I call her, I get off here. That's crazy because that's my guy.
Tell you talk to Cool Cow. She needs to hit me up. If I can take a phone call, cause I'm mad busy with Van Silk right about now. We ready to take over. Oh, listen. But I'll probably be able to take a call, but she should call me, Lady B. Bahia, Wendy. But she was messing with Daryl Dawkins. That's all I got to say.
Oh, damn.
Okay.
You went back there. Okay. I was young buck.
Wow. Well, I hope my man don't get mad. I knew what her and John Lil was together, but wow.
What John Lil at? And see, Jazzo, you know that's the fact.
Yeah, I ain't seen
John Lil
in a long time. Last time I thought John Lil was, I think
she named him Shaka Thunder. I ain't going to tell you why, but she named. Let me stop. Yo, man, so pull me in.
I know. Where's John Lil at? There's a funny story about my brother John Lil. Houdini. Oh my God, hold on a second. My free casino game came on by accident. Hold on. Jalil's on Facebook live on an airplane. Yo, Ecstasy, where you at, man? They get the plane get ready to take off. You're not on the plane. Where you at, dog? She said, yo, Jalil, the show is next week. So when you see Jalil on his page at the Dallas game, he flew to Dallas for free. He just flew to Dallas
a week before they show. It's just like, homie, what are you, Secret Service now? You're checking out the crowd? I mean, like, a lot of pioneers and legends, you'd be surprised, they're still working. From Dougie.
Yeah, true indeed. True indeed.
I love it. Man, my bass, bitch. They're working. So, I enjoy doing the show. I don't know what else is there more to everybody being in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and while all my family, our hip hop family's in Bridgeport, I'm down in Miami this weekend working on a whole 4 days for Black Film Festival weekend, trying to get a blowfly tribute going on. Talk to John Singleton. And a few other things. Got my girl Claudia Jordan, who's in London filming a movie, so she can come on down and we can host some independent Black filmmakers event at the Historical Lyric Theater in Overton, Miami. You know, and we got to keep pumping. Got to keep it pumping.
Hey, yo, man, so big boys, we're big boys put on big pants, right, son? We wear big pants. Shout out to Vivica Fox, another Hollywood star.
Yeah, that's another one of our friends, man. Yes, yes.
No doubt.
And our girl Belinda Trotter, who me and her did so many things with a website that we had called Who Got Lady ENT. She talked to everybody. She got everybody's number. So
yeah, everything.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun for a good year and a half. She talked to everybody from Vanessa Del Calloway to Keenan Wayne's wife. Why you want to talk to me? What was there to talk about? I'm not important.
DeVanzo calls you just like he got with Jazzo tonight. It's important. Trust and believe, world. Trust and believe. You get a phone call from Vanzo, he gonna patch you with the cool guy. It's important. Answer that phone call.
Always. True indeed.
That's real. I'm telling you something real, y'all. You don't even know what hip hop is getting ready to do again, like it should have did like 30 years ago. But it's all good though, because cats are still alive, vital. Vanzo has a brain like, you know, the ideas, and it's just a formulation of communication. If we could all communicate with each other and put out, listen, we got cats who we know that got beats that are 30 years old, and we talk and mention names. I ain't messing with him, man, because back in 1981, are you crazy, son? This is 2017. Where's your $1 million at? Well, I ain't got a million yet. You ain't going to get a million because you cranky.
We had a great conversation with my girl, Lee Smester V and B Facts for the Sapphire Crew. A lot of people don't understand when they get unsung that it was Donald D. Bowen, rest his peace, rest his soul, and his mother,
DJ Donald D. From Harlem, the original Donald D.
They discovered SWV. A lot of people don't understand, like in hip hop, like I was the one who found the Force MDs. It was the Force MCs, not Mr. Magic. That was a year later. We got the original flyer with Stevie D and God rest his soul, Mercury and Dr. Rock. That was originally me. A lot of people don't understand when Dougie Fresh threw his unsung, you got to talk about me because he was 14 years old with his bifocal glasses on the big lips. It's like, son, you can't rap.
There you go.
You can't
but
rap.
You can make that beatboxing noise.
Yeah, the night that we were lit was outside of Harlem World in 81 with Shabbat's birthday party. I let him get on stage. A lot of people understand that Biz Markie and Rob Bass used to carry crates for me and Mike and Dave. You know? So there's a whole lot of things people don't understand about this culture of hip-hop. They don't understand the Disco Twins. See, there, without the DJs, there's no MCs. Without the MCs, there's no hip-hop.
And
there's
I think
a
this
lot
story of, definitely...
And you know, so let's not forget the B-Boys, because the B-Boys were an important...
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, from the point that, from the thing that made money. Like, I knew Belinda Trotter since she was 18 years old. I knew it from Concord Village. Hold on. I knew it from Concord Village, so this is hip hop history. But she's from Lincoln Project.
You know, I'm glad all this is coming out because I feel like the new, I don't know, for lack of a better word, new school is kind of disrespectful to those that, you know, open up the doors and stuff. So that's why this has to be told.
Like Belinda created a magazine called Hype Hair. There was no hair magazines out. And I remember she was telling me, hey, Van, or whatever she was calling me. I used to like Belinda back in the day, but she threw me underneath the gutter every time. That's a long story short. She happily married for like 500 years. But she came from the same – her family lived in the same projects in Concord Village as my man Steve Samuel, who had the first hip-hop website, SOHH.com, that did the first online hip-hop awards, Steve Samuels. Now, Belinda's from Lincoln Project. But I never knew her to be from Harlem. I knew her to be from the Bronx. Like, oh, who is cutie over here? Damn. But all I'm trying to say is she worked at Rapmasters, Word Up as an editor. She used to edit people's stuff from Vibe magazine because they couldn't write for shit. So at the end of the day, you know, when me and her reconnected, like, yo, dog, we're going to do 3 months of you talking about who you are, and after that, you ain't got to tell nobody who you are no more because we're going to make it to where nobody, you ain't got to tell everybody your history no more. She done talked to mad celebrities and interviews from Vivica to Vanessa Bell Calloway to one of the Braxtons to Sherry Johnson from Punky Brewster to Beyonce's father. I mean, everybody was trusting her because she did real interviews. And see, this builds her back up. We all got to build each other up. We all got to build each other up in what we're doing because we're considered apostles. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed.
You call me a fossil.
Well, I'm loving it, man. Thank you. I definitely got your mathematics, so we definitely gotta keep this rolling. I'm gonna have to do something. We're gonna have to bring y'all down to Philly. You know what I mean? We have to do some old school Jones.
We're gonna do some pioneers and legends. We don't use the word old school. And like we got some brothers out there. We got Frank Holiday out there. We got Brother Juan out there. So like we can put some things together. And you know we just don't use those old terminologies because the white artists don't use. They don't call the Rolling Stone old school. They'll call them, you know, pioneers. They call them legendary. I like the word legendary.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
You know, because like yo, you can call me all you want. But Van Silk, don't yo trust me. Don't get the game twisted.
Don't get it twisted, my brother. Hey, yo, Jazzo, if Cool Cow come to Philly and be like, ah, oh, Big B, do you like that funky beat? Everybody, Lady B needs to hand me a check. I'm saying it on the air. I don't care. Hand me a check. Because when we first started doing all this New York City stuff, and Van So can tell you, they didn't know what the hell we were doing. They had DJs, but nobody that made a record came down there. And we came from New York, the Enjoy Records side, Fearless Four, Treacherously, Cool Cow, Dougie Fresh. This is the original Enjoy label. And they were like, you know, listen, me and Russell Simmons got chased into our limousine, left our girl standing on the sidewalk, had to jump in the car, already lost 2 gold chains, 1 earring, a bracelet, and a ripped shirt to get away from Philly. When we did our joints, I love Philly, man. So when I come back there, I want them to know Cool Cow's in the building. You heard?
In the building. So, Chaz, I don't know how long this is going on. I know you can edit this. I know this is blog talk, but whoever you want.
No, baby, this is live. We're live.
Well, and listen, brother, I got these 3 girls over here, Laverne, Shirley, and Red, looking at me about their Slurpees. Belinda say 10 minutes, but I'm gonna do a die guy. And at the end of the day, whoever you want, just holler at Belinda, and you got them from the pioneers and all that. It's not even a problem.
We're making
excellent. Excellent.
Thank
you so much.
Whoever you want, if you want to talk to Raheem, if you want to talk to DST, if you want to talk to Sherry Sherry, if you want to talk to Mercedes Lady, if you want to talk to Ike C, if you want to talk to Mr. Biggs about his new wine, if you want to talk to Red Alert, just let Belinda know, or we'll put it together, brother. We're glad to welcome you to be an extended arm of the True Storians and getting the word out.
All right. And it
thanks,
all starts on Saturday. So thank you so much, Cal. I'll see you on Saturday. I'm bringing my husband.
No doubt. No doubt, Belinda. I'll be here. No doubt.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Dazzle. Take us out.
Man, oh, man. If you was listening to Jazzo's World today, we had the hip-hop legends, pioneers, the icons right here on Jazzo's World 30 Basement Radio. We about to break out. But before we go, Belinda, how can anybody get in contact with you?
I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn as Belinda James or Belinda Trotter James. So just catch me there, and, yeah, you'll be able to find me.
All right, Mr. Van Silk, how can people get in contact with you if they want to get in contact with you?
I think he left, though, but what you can do is go to Kyle Brinson. That's my legal name on Facebook. You know how Facebook became police. But hit me up, Dazzo. Yeah, for real. And I'll definitely connect you. Immediately. Kyle Brinson on Facebook. That's Cool Kyle, the original Star Child. My legal name, Kyle Brinson. And you can get Belinda, you can get myself, you can get Ben. So, and from that point on, brother, you can live if you want pioneers in your building.
Always. I'm loving it. Yo,
in
don't
fact,
forget tomorrow,
friend,
right?
Yeah, so Stop playing in front of me. Don't make me get in the whip and go to Philly and surprise Wendy. Oh, you'll call her Bahia. Oh, you'll call her Lady V. Okay, let me stop. I'm beside myself with this. Because, you know, Philly really made an impact on my career because I had never been outside of New York up until Philly. And I got a phone call from this guy from Philly, a promoter. He called Russell. Russell Simmons was my manager at the time. Kyle, we got a show for you. Your record's doing very well here. Okay, it wasn't selling in New York, but in Philly, I'm like, okay, so Philadelphia, yeah. Okay, so Russell calls me. I had my own DJ, DJ Sinbad, from New York City. You know, we used to rock T-Connection. That's a classic spot in the Bronx. But anyway, I couldn't find Sinbad, so Russell said, my little brother will play for you. Russell, are you talking about Joey? Joey's Run. Yeah, he's playing for Curtis Blow right now. He's the son of Curtis Blow. Yeah, I heard all that, but can he play for me? So, long story short, yeah, we meet in Hollis, Queens, where Russell used to live at with Joey, DJ Run, because Run was a DJ before he was an MC. He was DJ Run. And we hit Philly, and we got there and did our thing and got mobbed to death, and, you know, it was crazy. My first experience was like a star, and they were like, yeah, cool girl, do you like that funky beat? Everybody. They had T-shirts with my name on it. I couldn't believe the whole thing. How it really went down. But anyway, Philly always gave me mad love. I returned there like a lot of times and always made money there. And used to go see Wendy when she was on the radio and just pop up in the middle of the night with a record. Yo, play this. And she would play it and stuff like that. So I would love to see Philly again. No, seriously. And because Philly was a good place. Disco Rack, I got close with them. And, you know, that label of Pop Art and, you know, Roxanne wound up signing with Pop Art and, but I'm the first New York dude to come to Philly like that, man, and really bond with them because they had New York records and they knew about New York hip-hop, but nobody came there to play. And my man Run got on and we did Catch a Groove and I stopped the music and said, you know, Philadelphia sucks. Y'all are boring. Me and Run are getting ready to go away. And I had it all planned out. I had all the lights turned out and they started screaming and yelling and throwing stuff. And, you know, one for the money, two for the show. Come on, DJ Run, show them what you're doing. Run came back on me. Catch a Groove. They went berserk. Hotel panties, hotel keys, house keys. And girls were like, I threw my house keys on the stage. I need them now. You know, it was crazy. Seriously crazy. All this is in 1980. 79 going on 80. 80 going on into 81. And, you know, I really went amok in Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia.
Oh, man. I'm loving it. Yeah, we definitely have to hook up, bro, and do something nice. When I call, I'm definitely going to shout you out to and everything.
Okay, man.
I'm loving it.
Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, Jazzo Williams, J-A-Z-Z-O Williams.
Jazzo Williams, I'll send you because you know if you forget, I'll check you out because I got somebody to do it for me, but I'll do it. And let's talk, man, right. For real, man, because Philly, I need to see Philly again. Lady B called me one night last year, like around 4 o'clock in the morning. Kyle, I got this dude who knows every word from your first record. And Cat got on the phone. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's like spitting my rhymes. I'm like, yo, my man, yeah, okay, that's cool. No, Kyle, yo, I love you. I'm like, oh my. So it's nice to hook up with Philadelphia people. Our boy from Philly, oh my God, I can't remember what son's name right now. Dad, Vanso just said his name. Oh, Frank Holiday. He's a good friend of ours. Frank Holiday from Northwest. He goes, yeah, Northwest Philly. He's a really good friend. He comes down to all our stuff in New York City, man. And, you know, he's a good dude, too. He was just in the hospital not too long ago, so I want to shout him out. But Frank Holiday, man, he's a good dude, man. You need to look out for him, too, if you can. You feel me? You reach out to him, man.
All right, definitely. Okay. Well, we at the end of the show, but it's never the end because next Monday is going to be back on 7 o'clock right here, Jazz of the World, Dirty Basement Radio. But don't forget tomorrow right here with DJ Sincere from 6 to 8 on Dirty Basement Radio. Hit Blog Talks, and we all here. I'm loving it. Goodbye to everybody. Thanks for listening once again, and we're going to be out. Peace.
Yes, sir. So, one of us hip hop starts out Cool Cow, Pete Nice, Van Soo. What? Jazzo in the building. One.
Good night, Jazzo. Good night, Cow. Cool Cow.
Good night.
Handsome. All right.